Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, July 24th, and we are here and with this song that stays in my mind all day.
I love it.
It's really cool, you know? We should like play 3 minutes of it.
Oh, yeah, it puts me in a good mood.
Yeah.
Makes me happy.
Yeah, I'll bring in the longer version of it and start playing. I know, it's like, I'm a genius, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes I figure things out the right way.
It's great. I love it. It's perfect music for a morning show.
Yeah, I know, I know. And it's like the voice is perfect.
Yeah.
And yeah. Believe me, I mean, I spend time on this stuff. I think about all these things, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, when I make the intros for all the shows, they come out really cool.
Yeah. I love this one. It's great.
Yeah. So we were talking about right before the show about how hot it's been here. And I was telling Charlotte I was like on the other side of the valley and it was 122 degrees. Now, you know, I lived in Vegas a couple times and I don't remember it ever breaking 120.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane. That's
it really
like,
is insane.
Just crazy.
You know?
Craziness.
I was outside. You know, I get out of the car and I'm going, what is this? You know, this is too much.
So, I don't think I've ever felt 120 degree weather.
No,
well, I guess you probably had until yesterday.
Yeah, that's true. And I was I did go out of the car, so I felt it, and but I didn't realize how hot it was till I got in the car. And it's absolutely ridiculous. Our weather, our climate is totally screwed up.
Yeah,
no rain, you know, droughts, heat. Mm-hmm. You know, we must be doing something wrong.
Right.
You know. But I don't know what's going to happen, but it's getting worse every year.
Hopefully no natural disasters.
Yeah,
that's usually
hopefully.
What weather like this leads to.
I hope not. Yeah, you used to associate, I mean, you actually associate this with earthquakes, right? The heat, didn't you before?
I think I said something about, well, maybe the change.
Okay.
When the heat, when it changes, it went from, I mean, there was so many where it was 90 and then it went dropped down to 70. And it's just when it drastically changes like that over a couple of days.
Yeah.
I don't think that's good for.
No, not good for our health.
Yeah. All the planet. I don't think it's good for California.
Yeah. Well, we have a couple of great guests in the studio. We're going to bring them in a few minutes. In the meantime, another plane went down, crashed.
I know, I saw that.
In Africa. And
116
people?
But they don't know if they've died yet. They haven't heard about the crew and the passengers, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, that was the article that I read.
Yeah, but how do you survive a plane crash?
Yeah.
Although it's been known to happen that people actually survived.
It was only like a 2-hour plane ride.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty small airline, an Algerian airline.
Mm-hmm.
But, I just wanted to touch on politics for a couple of minutes because the war in the Middle East is getting worse. And also the war of words on Facebook and stuff is really getting worse. And what bothers me is that people don't bother to look at the history. And they just like, they're sitting here on their high chair and they're directing the action and criticizing and everything. So that really pisses me off because you're talking about people's lives here.
Right.
You know, and the reality is that one side wants to kill as many people as possible, even on its end. And I mean, there's like been stuff released like videos and things like that that encourage them to be among the population.
Right.
You know, so people will die and stuff. So,
Israel sent out, I don't know what it was.
Leaflets and stuff.
Yeah, saying
leaflets,
that you should leave.
Texts, phone calls, everything. I mean, who does that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who does that?
Yeah.
So, but that's what I'm saying. People are not, they're choosing to ignore all this.
Right.
Because you know what happens is most people are entrenched in their opinions and that's it. And it's not just about this, about everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when people oppose gay marriage and, you know, and all these things, you know, it's like people already have opinions. It doesn't matter what you say, then you're not going to change their mind.
Yeah, completely.
So I decided maybe I'll get rid of some people on my Facebook, you know, that are really irritating
Defriend.
Me. Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, it's look, I'm open to arguments all the time. I love to argue and stuff. I do. Not in a fighting kind of way, but arguing, you know, just having a conversation, a discussion, a two-way discussion. And so when people throw bullshit and stuff, I'm like, you know, this is not for me. I'm not going to sit here and re-educate one at a time. It's not going to happen. But I do need to clean up my friends. And you know what I realized also is in the beginning, you know, when I first joined Facebook and stuff, you know, you meet a lot of people, blah, blah, blah. You want to increase your friends. And so you take just any friend request, or at least I did, you know, because I'm in the public eye, you know, so I don't keep it private or anything. And then you end up, you know, being friends with some people you don't know that are totally of different opinions and things like this. And you're like, why am I friends with them? Why do I have to look at their posts?
You should put the follow on so that they can follow you, and they still see all your posts.
Right.
But you're not, you don't get...
Right.
Or they see the posts that are on public.
Right.
But
that's okay. I mean, I don't want them to see my posts either. Let them go to hell, you know? I don't care.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, there you go. That's how I solve the problem. So, yeah, so there's a lot happening. And I don't know. I feel that if you're not with me, you're against me. You know, it's as simple as that, especially in situations like this. So people are like, no, I'm not, you know, I'm only critical of the government. But you know what? People in Israel support the government. It's like sometimes the best thing for Israelis is to have a war because they all get together again.
Pull together,
They remember who they are and where they come from. Mm-hmm. You know, where in everyday life you don't know what's going on. So you just, or you don't really care. So you're self-involved with your life and things like that, you know. But when you see in Israel, it's very hard because all the soldiers are very young. Mm-hmm. You know, at 18 you send them to the military, and one of the dead guys was, I don't know if you read about it, from Woodland Hills here, and he's an American that went to fight for Israel and he was killed. You know, so, I mean, that happens. It does happen. But just imagine, you know, for the parents what that is, you know, to have to go through it. So, and, you know, Israel being a very small country and stuff, and sort of like the home for the Jews, everybody has a relative that's in the military because everybody goes.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
so.
What you do,
So, so, I mean, your neighbor, your friend might have a son in the military right now fighting. So it's very scary, you know, because it touches everyone.
Well, especially when they called on, what was it, 60,000?
40,000 reserves. But they didn't really draft all of them. They just put them all on call.
Oh.
But there's still, there's still a lot going on there. But like I said, I'm open to debate and arguing and everything, but please know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, because I do.
Exactly. Well, you can't have an argument with somebody that knows what they're talking about when you don't.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like talking about this in disguise, like inserting like American, Native Americans and things like that. I'm like, what does this have to do with anything, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. When people can't argue, they start coming up with ridiculous things. So anyway.
He'll be getting a defriend.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they're getting. Not a block. I don't need to block them. But yeah, time to clean up a little bit.
Right.
You know, maybe it's not. Somebody posted that they're cleaning up all their friends only with people they know personally. And that's not a bad idea, you know. So you might have only a couple hundred, but what the hell, you know.
Exactly.
It's people you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So yeah, I don't know about this Facebook thing at all, but. Yeah, that's what we got, you know.
It's everywhere. You can't get away from it.
No, you can't, you know. And I don't think I could. It's like I'm a few hours away from Facebook. I'm like, well, what happened? You know, did I miss anything? Did anybody reply to my posts? You know, is there any celebrity wanting to be my friend? You know, things like that. So no such luck there. But I don't follow celebrities on Facebook. I don't know, or on Twitter. It doesn't make any difference to me what they think.
Same.
Yeah. So it's almost the weekend, and it's very cool. And
well, it's very hot.
It's very hot, yeah. So I'm probably going to take my bike and be by the beach because there it's never really
it's not that hot.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, it's definitely nowhere near 122.
Yeah, no way. And you live close to the beach. Was it pretty cool where you are? I mean, do you guys even have air conditioning there?
No.
You don't, right? No. You see, all the places near the ocean, they never put air conditioning in.
Yeah.
So, but it never gets that hot, right?
No, and the windows are always open, so it's right. never, it doesn't get uncontrollably hot.
Right, right.
But it was, I don't know, it's probably about 90 yesterday.
Really?
So it's still pretty hot, still but there's such a breeze.
Yeah.
That's the difference, I think.
That's true, yeah. But I still don't know how you can be 90 degrees in the house, but it probably isn't.
It's not, yeah, not
it's
in
a lot
the house.
Less.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Well, with my air conditioning broken, it's cooler outside than it was inside.
Oh, no.
At midnight last night. So go figure, you know. But yeah.
Long night.
Yeah, long night. Not a lot of sleep, though, as you all know. But, you know, but it was a long night. All right. Anyway, let's bring in our guests. We have a guest that's returning after being here last week. And we liked her so much that she's back. And we have May Lee in the studio. Welcome to the show, May.
Thank you. I'm here.
Hello. You're here. And you're a matchmaker.
Yes.
A professional matchmaker. That's what you do for a living. It's not just a hobby for you.
It's not a hobby.
Right.
It's actually an occupation for us.
Okay. Cool. And you brought your friend slash partner.
Yes.
Katie Chen, right?
Yes.
Welcome to the show, Katie.
Thank you.
So you're both the owners of Catch Matchmaking.
Yes, yeah, okay. We are co-owners, co-founders.
Right. Yeah. And it's just the two of you?
Just the two of us.
Wow, yes. That's enough. You don't need any more partners, right?
No more partners,
no, just more employees.
Two partners is enough, you know? I know. I never really worked with a partner. So all of my businesses were like things I started on my own, and maybe somebody joined me later or something, you know? But yeah, it's cool to be able to work with partners, though.
Yeah, to bounce ideas off each other.
Exactly. You complement each other. You complete each other, you know, and so forth. Yeah.
Did you guys know each other before you went into the business?
As acquaintances, we knew each other. We both used to work for a Fortune 500 company. We knew about each other, but we never worked directly with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't until we started this that we became really good friends and business partners.
Really?
So, yes.
So... So wait a minute, but you did know each other though, right?
Correct. Yes.
You did know each other.
But
okay.
We never said, "Hey, you want to quit our corporate jobs and come do this with me?" It wasn't until later that we came up with, "Hey, let's work together. I like your work ethic and I like what you're about." And
May's like my work wife or husband, whatever you want to call it. Like, very you know,
cool.
If I'm not at home and hanging out with a boyfriend, then there's May. So
yeah,
we figured it was a lot more fun to go to networking events together and hang out, and then all of a sudden became business partners.
Oh, very cool. Cool. So whose idea was it, though? I mean, one of you, right?
Yes.
Was it May's idea?
It was my idea.
Your idea.
It started this in 07. When I turned 30, I tried the online dating, and I signed up for a video dating company at the time.
Right.
They were horrible. They're no longer in business.
Right. And Great Expectations or something?
Yes.
Yeah. You know that we had the founder here one time.
What's a video dating company?
They did videos, so you would just talk about yourself in a video, and then other people would view the video, and then if they want to meet you, then they connect.
That's
you.
Sort of like before the internet, but you actually did it after the internet was
Correct.
Around. You said 2007, mm-hmm. right?
Correct.
But so I guess there was still video dating at the time.
A little bit. It was before that. It was probably 2000 or 2001 that
I signed up
with them, and I thought they were horrible.
I feel like that would be a good way, though, because there would be no issue with, is this really the actual person that I'm talking to? Because you're right there. You're talking. You can't exactly put someone else in to say, can you say all this for me?
Right.
So there would be no issue with, is this the actual person I'm going to meet?
Right. But basically, they just kind of left it to like online dating where you have to go scroll through the people yourself, and it wasn't someone
they
actually
don't match you or anything.
Picking people for you. Right.
Right.
No
exactly.
one's hand-picking. Yeah.
I know. Yeah, so it's funny because one time I had this man and his wife came in, and they were like, you know, we'll talk about dating, relationships, things like that. And then it turned out that he was the owner of Great Expectations,
wow.
which was a pretty big company at the time. But, yeah, because there was really no alternatives at the time for dating services, right?
Right, right.
So So, yeah, I mean, I actually joined it for a while. Yeah, it sucked, you know. I mean, you have to go through tapes. Yeah, today when you look back, it's ridiculous to have to go through physical tapes and actually sit in their offices and watch all this and fill out forms and and all that. Yeah.
Very tedious.
Yeah, for sure. So what kind of a company did you guys work for before?
Well, we worked for Enterprise Rent-A-Car. So we went through their whole management trainee program, started from the ground up. And I worked there for like 8.5 years. And May was there for like over 11 years, too.
Really? That's a long time.
First job out of college.
Wow.
Yeah. I know.
So what did you graduate in?
I graduated in 1995 from UCSB.
Yeah, in what, though?
Communication and sociology.
Oh, okay.
So I'm using both of those majors
right now. Now, yeah, but
now
not an Enterprise Rent-A-Car.
Right? No way.
Yeah. That's cool. And so let's find out a little bit about you. Katie, are you originally from LA?
I grew up in San Diego.
Oh,
so,
really?
You know, it's everything that LA has to offer without the smog.
Yeah, absolutely.
And without the traffic. But it just kind of got too small for me when I was growing up there. I just wanted to leave and change the world, do all this crazy stuff when I was young. And now
really?
I am.
So already you knew you wanted to change the world.
I did.
Yeah, and now you do it one person at a time.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, it is.
Awesome.
Did you words right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Did school bring you up to LA?
It did. Yeah, I went to UCLA. I fought tooth and nail, and I was just like, I did not want to go. I want to go to Berkeley. That's where people start when they change the world. And I just figured LA was very superficial. But, you know, when I came up here, I just formed my whole little group of friends, and it's all about the people.
And you realize there's a lot of great people in this town. Yeah.
Yeah.
Out of 4 million, there's got to be some great people here, you know?
Hopefully they're in this
somebody.
Room at least.
Yeah. And we were talking about, you know, people like posing here and putting up fronts and things like that when you were here last week. So, and it's true, you know, but I think the place makes you like that, right? Because when you go somewhere else, or many people come from different places, you can't say that all the places in the world are like posers, you know, you know, things like that. So you come here, and I think it is because it's entertainment. Everybody competes with everybody else. You know, it's like, I want to look better than them. I got to have more money. I got to have a nicer car and things like that, you know. So people get lost in that, you know, in the surface things.
Complete, yeah.
And what about you, May? Where are you born?
Well, I was born in El Paso, but I grew up in Needles, California. So when you're talking about 126 degrees, that's what Needles, California was like.
That's close to Arizona, right?
Laughlin and Nevada, near Laughlin, Nevada and Arizona. So right at the border. So you can hit three states when you live in Needles.
How did you end up there, though?
My parents moved out there from Azusa to buy a Chinese restaurant. So that was our business. Was growing up, we were working in a Chinese restaurant, and we were there from, I don't know, since I was 4th grade to 12th grade. So about 8 to 10 years they were out there.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I can see why you'd want to get out. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing there.
Nothing there.
Santa Barbara was like big, like huge city for me. So, yeah, that was big difference.
So that's where you went to school in Santa Barbara?
Yes.
Is it a good school?
Oh, great school.
Really?
The beach is right there.
Yeah.
You know, great community, but not so big like L.A. where you get lost.
Right.
And the campus was amazing and it was fun.
Yeah. They had a shooting there a few months ago, right? That's where it happened.
That was very sad. Very heartbreaking.
I know. But Santa Barbara is beautiful for those who haven't been.
I've never been.
You never been?
Oh, it's only so close.
Oh, you should
know. Yeah, it's only a couple hours.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, it's beautiful there. Yeah, when you wonder where to go for the weekend or something.
I know, I need to. It's so close.
Yeah.
But it's one of those, it's so close that, well, I might as well stay at home.
Not that close.
You could go for the night. Just go up there for the night and check things out. And it's beautiful. It's very nice drive.
Yeah, they have like a cute small downtown. You know, you walk around. They have
lots of bars and restaurants.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to try it.
Yeah.
Get the girls together and, really and drive up in a convertible or something.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd
good
be fun.
Yeah. There you go. Awesome. So, so you ended up moving to, so then you finished college.
Finished college.
And you decided you're going to move to LA?
Yes. Because I had friends here and kind of made it my place that I wanted to be. And ironically, I moved here in 96 and now I bought a house like 12 years ago, like two blocks away from where I first moved. So
really?
I kind of just stayed in the area.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's very cool. And so you came here to do what? What were you planning to do when you came out of school?
I actually wanted to be a journalist. I wanted to be on TV, but I knew it was really tough to get in. I mean, I got my braces. I was ready to go. Like, I was ready. I was like, I don't want
gotta look perfect.
Screwed up teeth in the cameras or whatever. So, right. But that was my goal. But when you graduate, you really don't know what to do. So when headhunters come after you, they said, oh, try this management trainee program. I'm like, okay, I've always done sales. I was a waitress when I was working at school at UC Santa Barbara. So I said, okay, I'll do whatever. And I just kind of got sucked in. And 11 years later, I was there. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, great living. We learned a lot. I mean, we interviewed people. We sold. We, you know, dealt with customer service. So all those things we're still using today in
right.
our business.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So it really helped shape us who we are and all that, so it was great.
Cool yeah. And Katie, so you went to school, what did you decide to do afterwards? So you were already in LA.
Yes.
And so you sort of like, it's grown on you or what?
Yeah, well, I mean, I have to be one of those people who were negative about LA for a long time,
right.
And it took some embracing, but my background's in psychology and economics. Like, my dad was always like, psychology, that's like a talk show. What are you doing with it? You know, they're really pragmatic parents. So they're like, okay, if you throw economics in there, maybe there'll be hope for you. So
yeah.
I threw it in there, and I guess it's helped us out today, being our business owners. And then kind of similar, I just went into an internship with Enterprise Rent-A-Car, and they said, hey, you're going to get some real life skills. It's marketing. It's you're going to work with people. And I'm like, people? Okay, I'm in. It sounds like I could get my talking in and then still do the business side. So it seemed great. And then we just worked with a lot of social, energetic, hardworking folks. And before you know it, we kind of climbed the corporate ladder. Mm. But I guess I kind of had a life crisis at 30, and I'm like, is this what life is going to be? Just work away, like 60 hours. And yeah, you climb up and it's fun and it's stimulating, but still, it's 60 hours of hard work.
That's
and
true.
So,
that you do that it for it. Someone else.
Correct. Yeah.
To make somebody ourselves. Else's dream come true.
It sounds like they're really good at sucking people into
it. Oh, yeah. They are. It was a lot of, and we're normal, intelligent people, you know? It wasn't like
a lot of sucking into.
No wonder they're
saying,
such a big corporation.
I know, right?
You learn a lot.
Yeah. I have a friend that works for them, so.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Do you
need them?
She lives in Miami, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's busy, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard with those corporate jobs. They expect you to be a lot more productive than it used to be, right?
Yeah, when you're young and you
mean,
have
60 hour work weeks, that's a long time. That's a lot of hours.
Right.
You know, to put. But I guess, you know, when you become in management and stuff, you have to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And people become your friends, too.
Right.
I mean, that's when people would start going happy hour together and start, like, I don't know, hooking up, too. I mean, you didn't see anyone else. So there was a lot of relationships coming out of it. And then, so you kind of just get sucked in by the relationships, or at least I'm a sucker for that. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I want to learn more about your dating life and what's going on. I mean, you can only talk cars and numbers so much, right? So.
Yeah. Have you always been interested also in dating and relationships and things like that? I mean, obviously, you said you like people and be involved with people.
No.
No, huh? It never occurred to you or anything.
I was always into, like, relationships, but more of just between people. But not so much between men and women, because growing up, my parents were like, you can't date. You can't go out beyond a certain time. So it was always, oh, I'm not interested in dating right now. But as more and more people kind of talked about it and how difficult it is in LA, you could see that it's beyond just between men and women.
Right.
It's about the person, and it's about two people too. So
that's true.
That became intriguing to me. I always associated relationships with gossip, and that's what my mom got involved with at dim sum and talking about how she was going to set people up. So I was like, no, that's for old people. Not for people like us who want to change the world.
That's true. Yeah. Wasn't there, like, she should have watched Aladdin, right? Wasn't there like a matchmaking deal there? They went to a matchmaker and stuff.
Did they?
Aladdin?
Yeah. Isn't it Aladdin like the...
It's the
Disney cartoon.
Yeah, it's the
They had a matchmaker there or something. I don't know why I remember that, but I do.
In the Disney movie?
Yeah. Wasn't there? What am I thinking about?
I don't know.
Okay, never mind. That's a total brain fart. I mean, it's a very stinky one.
Maybe you're thinking of Fiddler on the Roof.
No, not really. I'm not thinking about that one.
It's a genie.
genie.
Is the genie?
No, not the genie. There's a lady there. But I'm pretty sure I'll bring that in.
Come back. We'll watch the movie. Invite us next time when you think of it.
We'll watch the movie. Yeah. Wow. So May, you got the idea for Dune matchmaking. How did that come about?
How that came about? Because I figured out there had to be a better way of meeting somebody, because I was a busy professional. I was good at my job. I was bought a house. I felt like I was a good catch. I had a lot of great friends. Right. But I was like, there has to be a better way of meeting somebody. And right. I didn't want to go on Match.com and then all my employees would see me online. Yeah. All these people that I oversee, you know, yeah. That's kind of weird or embarrassing and not appropriate. Yeah. So I just realized, you know, while I was at Enterprise Rent-A-Car, I thought, I should start a dating company.
Yeah.
But I didn't, because I kept moving up in the company. And finally, when I quit my corporate job, I said, I'm going to start my own business.
Yeah, so, that's like a natural for you, because you already thought about
it. Right, right. So it's been like marinating in my mind for so long. And finally, I said, you know what? I'm just going to pull the plug and do it. Just quit my job and let's go for it.
Wow, that takes a lot of courage. Because I know many times people will keep their job and start with a new business and then, you know, transition until later. But you totally cut off you decided, that's it. I'm going to focus 100% of my time on the new business.
I quit. I should have. I guess if I was smarter, I would have been doing it on the side while
No, but you got to do this, because that's what passion for business is, you know.
Jump full feet in.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And you're really excited. And once you realize you have an idea or something, you go, you know, the hell with what I'm doing now. I don't care about that anymore.
And let you can't concentrate and do it properly.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I was all in. I was all in. And I said, you know what? I have enough savings. I cannot work for a few years and I'll be okay. So I just went for it.
Sounds good. So did you start it on your own, or did you already bring Katie in?
I started it on my own and realized, gosh, this sucks going to events by myself. It's kind of boring. So then I convinced Katie to join me. And I said, why don't you just try this out for a month? See if you like it. If you do, then we'll go 50-50. Wow. And she said, hey, I'm in. And then she just invested 50% of whatever I already did.
Right.
And here we are, you know, since 2007. So we're still here. So we're doing
Very cool. So 7 years you've been in business now.
Yes. We've been in business for 7 years, and it's been very interesting. It's never boring. We keep coming up with different ideas and different things to keep our fans and the people who are supporting us interested. So,
right.
Yeah.
And how do you divide the duties, Katie? I mean, do you do certain things and May does certain things, or do you both do everything?
Yeah. I mean, it used to be in corporate, hey, work on your weaknesses, you know, strengthen that. I've realized, forget it. Just work on your strengths and you'll get there faster. And you'll be a lot happier. So, I mean, I guess we have different strengths, but I mean, I'm doing more of the matching and kind of talking to the matchmakers about what angle to take with each person, because each person is so similar in a way, because we deal with busy professionals and our clients are men, but at the same time, they're so different. Like, there's different stages they're in. They need to hear different things. So I help out the matchmakers with that. And May's really good with like outreach. Things like this, like LA Talk Radio, and she's good with matching up with other matchmakers and just keeping in touch with them. So that really helps us out, because there's so many people in the industry that have great people and great events that we can reach out to and match with our clients too.
Right. So that's interesting that the men are the clients, right? The women are like the inventory, pretty much.
Lack of a better word.
Do you have any female clients?
No, we don't. Right now, we don't. We just take on the men who pay us. And research on their behalf.
And so where do you get the women?
I mean, come to us, or I recruit them. So that's where my strengths are.
So they come to you, but they're not clients. They don't have to pay.
No.
And they're just, they're there for
to be set up. They're just as relationship-minded or marriage-minded. But we believe in the traditional model. Men should pay. Women should be free. Just like men should pay on the first date.
Right.
And women should be grateful and thankful.
Yeah.
So where do you find the women? Like, are you walking down the street?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. She would be a really good girl. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Katie and I know our clients very well. So every guy has a visual type. So we're going to start with that, because that's what we can see when they're walking down the street. If they're 5'6", 125 pounds or whatever, and, you know, oh, he's really into blondes. Let's approach her, see what her story is.
Sounds like the perfect woman so far.
Right.
Yeah, go on.
I'm describing Charlotte.
Right? Yeah. I wish I was 5'6".
So, yeah, we will approach anybody at the store, at a networking function, at an art show gallery, like, everywhere.
Wow,
everywhere.
There are
cool. singles everywhere.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but it takes a little courage to walk up to somebody and start talking about that, right?
But they want to talk to you.
They want to talk to you.
They want to talk to you.
Really?
I'm not selling them insurance or, you know, things like that or some kind of financial planning. They want to talk
true.
About their love lives.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and it's easier when it's woman to woman, right? I mean, if you
right.
had to walk up to guys, everybody's like, hey, let me do you first, and then I'll right. talk to you about this.
They always try because, to take a shot.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, you don't have women just walking up to guys and starting this,
right.
you know. So that's interesting. So obviously, so you cater to busy people who usually when you're busy, you're also making money.
Yes,
and,
right.
So people come to you. How do they find out about you? Do they actively search or do you promote yourself to people? How does it work? How do people find out about you?
There's different ways. I mean, a lot of people do come to us because they're already searching. They're looking for maybe how to meet women who are normal.
Right.
How do I meet guys who are, you know, relationship minded? So people will go into Google and kind of look around. And it's articles, videos, and things like that that we'll put out there so that if you're our kind of people, we're going to speak to you. But if you're not our kind of people, we're going to appear to be too normal or too real for you, and then it's not going to work out. So
yeah.
What's your kind of people?
People who have goals, like professionals who have kind of a structure. They don't need to be – they could be business owners too with weird schedules and things like that. But the thing that differentiates them is they really want to make this a priority too. Like they come to us and say, hey, you know what? It's about that time. I have my career set. I have my goals. I'm going somewhere. But I also want to share it with someone. And I want right. someone attractive and active and is interesting too. So then you add all that together and then you need help all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's true. That's
yeah.
true. And I can see how it totally would make sense. I mean, matchmaking has been around since people were getting married pretty
oh,
much,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
It's been around.
Right.
You know,
many centuries.
Yeah.
So.
It's like the old ladies matching up everybody, you know.
Even you think it's an old lady.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Too, but, when I got
well,
involved.
It used to be. I mean,
yeah.
not anymore,
I
you know,
know
of course. But it used to be maybe because, you know, over their lifetime, they've met a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, plus it has to be a woman because they're more like in tune with people's
it.
Emotions mm-hmm. and things like that.
Yeah, I think
you know?
You're right because people in LA are all over the place now. I mean, even, you know, Playa del Rey to the Valley. People don't
right.
want to drive from Playa del Rey to the Valley to meet someone.
Right.
Or you won't naturally. But if I said, hey, she's everything you wanted and more with the bells and whistles on, and I need you to just go have a drink with her,
yeah.
then you'll probably be more motivated.
Yeah, I'll take a helicopter to the date. I mean, my God, you know?
Yeah, you need us to paint the picture for you. That's what we do as matchmakers.
Yeah.
You know? Like, let me get you there. I mean, I know you can't fathom getting on the 405 at this hour, but let me help you.
Do you think that shows such as Millionaire Matchmaker, and there's a couple other matchmaking shows on TV, has helped the industry and people realize that people do use matchmakers?
Oh. Definitely. Those shows have helped the industry because it keeps our business on the top of their minds. So maybe they can't afford the Millionaire Matchmaker paying $25,000 or $50,000, but they can certainly Google Los Angeles Matchmaker or Help in Dating or Dating in Los Angeles and then find us.
Right.
So it's a small industry in Los Angeles. Like all the matchmakers and dating coaches pretty much know each other.
Right. So it's
yeah.
a small community.
Very
sort
small
of.
Community.
That's
yes.
cool. And then you can share clients and inventory
right.
and everything too.
And help
yeah.
each other out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Very cool.
Do you do that? Do you help each other out?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We met a few of the matchmakers at the Great Love Debate last week, and a lot of them are friends, and even everyday life, we work with people. So I would say, hey, I have this great client. He's this, this, and this. He's looking for this, this, and this. Do you have a female paying client that's looking for him? So if we do, we, as matchmakers, we're very honest to each other. We'll tell them what the issues are, what they can improve on, and what they're really looking for. So we're looking to make a match with whoever. We can. That's
right.
our goal, is to help our client just cast a wider net.
Right.
And I guess you want both parties still get paid.
Oh, absolutely. Because, yeah. Right. We have our client that pays us. They have their client that pays them. So we're just helping each other out and gotcha. Making our clients happy. So.
Right. Right. For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Mei Li and Katie Chen, who are the owners of Catch Matchmaking. So you can go to catchmatchmaking.com. And get familiar with them. You guys are pretty much pictures all over the place. So, yeah, you guys can't mistake in who the owners are. I wanted to ask you, are you both in relationships? I mean, one of you married. You mentioned the boyfriend. So you're with a boyfriend right now?
Yes, I am. Okay. We've been together for about 4 years.
4 years?
4 years, yes. Yeah, so I know exactly what people will eventually get into after the first couple of dates. And so it kind of keeps it real. Like when everyone's like, hey, I need this, this, and this, the grass is greener on the other side. It's almost like I don't doubt that it might be a little bit greener, but why don't you just kind of, you know, tend to the garden a little bit and plant something different. So it's nice to be in a relationship and be able to kind of tell people, well, it's good. I think you could still get there. The match can still get there. So you just need to do a few of these things or be open to this or that. So it helps keep it real.
Right. Now, I mean, are you guys talking about marriage and everything? I mean, it has been 4 years, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
Yes, okay. It has been four years. But it's weird. It's weird how.
It's interesting. You'd be together for 4 years. You'd figure that you'd figure out that you want to marry or not marry that person rather early.
Right. We kind of have a progressive view on it, I guess. And it's kind of weird being in the matchmaking industry because everyone thinks it's the end all be all is marriage.
Right.
But we work with people who it might not be for them. It might not be for them, but it's great to be in a lifelong partnership or they just enjoy dating. So I guess my view on it is whatever makes you happy. Mm. And right now, I guess our relationship is happy where it is. And if we were to have kids, we would get married.
Right.
I think
when
that's
when you want to
really
start a family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But my mom's all over me about that.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm
Pop
sure.
Them out.
Yeah. And that's a discussion we had with Laurel when she was here the other day about...
you not wanting to get married again, I heard.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, about the marriage thing. And she said that eventually, you know, people want to get married. And I said that marriage is really when you want to have a family, you know, because...
For the security.
Yeah, you know, for the children to have a, you know, framework to work with and stuff. But I don't really see the point if you're not going to, you know, because it just... I've just seen too many times where a marriage would actually destroy a relationship that was good before.
Right.
Why do you think that would happen?
Well, piggyback on a little bit of what you said earlier, that a lot of our, not a lot of our guys, there are a small percentage of our guys who come to us who are recently single, out of a long relationship or long marriage, and they don't necessarily say, I want to jump into another marriage. They say, you know what, I'm okay if I find a lifelong partner and we do things together, good companionship, intimacy, and all that. And they don't have to get married again. They're okay living together, having that commitment, having a real partner in life.
Right.
So it's not everyone who comes to us wants to get married.
Okay, but are women okay with that too? I mean, as far
Absolutely.
As lifelong relationships
yes, we have
without
women,
marriage?
Yes, we have women in our database that say the same thing, especially if they went through a really heartbreaking long-term marriage. The divorce was ugly. The fights,
That's
the
true,
kids
yeah.
are not... you know, open to the idea yet. And they're like, I'm okay. I don't want to go through that again. Or maybe men who've lost a lot of money in a divorce, they're like, I don't need to do that again. I can afford paying for her, contributing to everything and being a partner, but I don't really need to say I'm married again. So it just depends. It really depends. And unfortunately, there are guys who've been married twice and divorced twice in LA. So it's no longer we're asking the men, oh, are you divorced? It's like, how many times have you been married?
Right.
You know, because divorce is so common, unfortunately. But guys don't necessarily need to get married again.
Right.
So, do you think the divorce rate will ever settle down?
I don't think so. I mean, if we keep living as long as we're living, we keep living as long as we're living, there's the odds are higher that you're going to get a divorce, right? I mean, back in the days, people got married because they need it financially, and they didn't live as long as people That's are living true. Now.
Yeah, so. And it wasn't acceptable to break up and divorce and everything. Right. So they just stay in a terrible marriage and wouldn't do anything about it.
And now it's more, it's different.
Right.
Very, very different.
So. Very cool. So, okay, so the way people find you is they look for a matchmaking service. And they come to you, the man comes to you, and then what? He tells you exactly what he's looking for, physically, other aspects as well, obviously, personality. Yeah.
They tell us who they're looking for, a little bit about their love lives, the patterns, who they want, and whatever they say, we say, you're not getting that. Just kidding. No, basically, if we tell them, look, if... what you're telling me, and she's 80% of what you're asking for, we highly suggest you meet her.
Right.
You just don't know these photos that people are looking at online or even through our service. It's one dimensional. You need to meet them and get a feel for them, because when people see our profiles, our picture on our website, and they meet us, they're like, oh, wow, you're totally different than what I envisioned you to
be. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the pictures. I mean, even when you communicate with them by text or by phone, it's not the same as when you see the whole package.
The whole package. Right. Absolutely.
Exactly.
The whole package.
Right. Yeah. So that's why we were saying first impressions are so important, because I think, you know, in the first couple seconds, I already know if I'm attracted to a woman or not, you know. So it's not, but I think also when you meet someone, then it's not like a laundry list anymore, you know, because people come into a matchmaker and they go, oh, well, I can pretty much get ask for what I want.
Right.
So let me make a laundry list, you know, 5 foot this, you know, this kind of body, this education. And but the reality is, when you meet someone at a bar or at a party or something, or in the store, which never happens to me. I wish I would find someone in the store, you know. Wouldn't have to work so hard.
Sunday night, isn't that the best time to meet someone in the grocery store?
Whole Foods.
That's what they say. I keep forgetting about that. Yeah, I'll have to do Sunday. I have to remember.
Whole Foods for the day.
Yeah. Right. Sunday night is the meat market at Ralph's, you know. So what I'm saying is, when you meet someone in real life, you don't really look at their height as much. You don't really pay attention as much to, you know, what education they have or anything. Right. You pay attention to the person that's sitting in front of you.
Right.
So that's what you need to get. That's the point you need to get to with your clients, right?
Yes,
it's like,
them.
Forget about this list. Go and meet the woman. She's got a lot of the qualities you're looking for. You know, maybe the picture is not the best or something, but go meet her, you know, and see if you click. Because I think clicking is a lot more than just about looks.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
I know. People build up kind of a picture of the guy or the girl that they've been talking to via text or online for so long. And then within 5 minutes, you're like, oh, gosh, what was I thinking? So
exactly.
They build up a picture or an impression in their head for good, for better or for worse. You know, sometimes... what you see, you feel, oh, no way, this is not my type. But then when you go in person, you realize they are. So, and then vice versa, you think this is the dream woman. And then 5 minutes, you're like, wow, no, I don't feel that feeling. So I guess we help people get out of their own ways and put you in front of people that want to date you. That might be your type if you keep attracting that person. So
that's true.
Help it keep it real.
When the male clients come to you, do they deal with you guys directly, or is it somebody else first and then they
meet with either Katie or myself? We spend time with them one-on-one, so the meeting could be an hour and a half, and really get to know them, talk to them. And we already have the questionnaire that they filled out in front of us, but we just want to figure out how they answer the questions. They could tell us they're divorced since 2012, but tell us that story. What happened? What did you like about her? What did you dislike about your ex-wife? And we just want to hear them tell us a little bit more about them so we get to know them.
Right.
So after that, if they decide to sign up with us, they also meet with our right-hand matchmaker or our other matchmakers in the office as well. So we're all searching for him.
Yeah, so you play the part of like the friend that puts the other two friends together or something.
Right, we're the middleman.
You get to know them.
Mm-hmm. We're the middleman, and a lot of the women in our database, they trust us. We've gotten to know them. So when they say, hey, Katie, if you recommend this highly of this guy, then I'll meet him. So that's what they want, is someone to vouch for them. Mm-hmm. So they just want someone to say, put the stamp of approval and say, hey, you should meet him. Okay, I'll meet him.
Right.
So, and the women who are open-minded and are willing to listen and trust us are the ones that are going to end up getting married.
Right.
The ones that come to us and say, I really want to get married. I really want to be in a relationship. I want to start a family. The ones who admit that they want it are the ones who get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, Katie, is there like a specific age group that you guys get that's more common than others? It's probably like marriage age pretty much, right? Early 30s or something?
A lot of the women that we have to spend time building relationships with and appearing like we are basically a normal service are right. the women who are 35 and under, because they seriously are getting hit up online with guys who are in their age bracket and guys who are 30 years older. So they're very kind of jaded and very wary of, well, who's this matchmaker claiming this and that? Like, is she really going to help me? So once people meet us, and that's why we do events as well, is to just say, hey, this is us. If this speaks to you, we're here. Talk to us. And then guys, I mean, we have guys anywhere from, I was always surprised when they were in their late 20s and they're ready and they're relationship minded. I'm like, really? Wow. Mm. But we do get guys in their late 20s up to like, you know, maybe 60. Mm. But all guys want to date 5 to 10 years younger minimum.
Yeah. So. And we've been talking about this and everything because... yeah, I mean, I'm feeling it on my own skin now. You know, I'm the 30-year-old, the guy that's 30 years older. I mean, my God, you know, when I just think about
we
this,
would
I
would vouch for you, Sam. We
I'm sure you would. You know,
you guys, if you can't see him, we'll vouch for him.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's just nature. It's those primal instincts, right. those biological instincts, and we were talking about that too. That you know attracts. They attract everybody to younger women. I mean, even some women are attracted to younger women, you know? So that's where it's at, you know? a woman that's young and attractive, she's got the chance, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's seriously, I get shocked when guys want to date the same, like, all date just... I'm 60, I'll date 60. I don't think...
It doesn't
we're
happen.
Still waiting for that guy. Yeah, if you're out there, please call us. But it doesn't happen. Yeah. But it's still age appropriate. I mean, 5 to 10 years is what our database is comfortable with. They're going to say, okay, cool. As long as the guy is not sending me to a gunfight with a knife. Like, if you are overweight, you don't take care of yourself, you are down on yourself, and you want to date younger, it's going to be harder because women... who are younger are attracted to maturity and experience and confidence.
Right.
So if you don't have all that, then it's going to be problematic.
Right. But at the same time, we also believe that most 30, 35-year-olds are looking to settle down, whereas, you know, a 55, 60-year-old man is just ready for fun, mostly. Right?
Well,
No, what I'm saying is that if he sees a 35-year-old, he's not about, it's not about marriage and have my kids and stuff, although it would be nice, but it's
arm
not
candy.
The same. Yeah. I don't think it's the same goals at that point in your life, right?
Right.
Yeah. And that could hurt a relationship and everything.
Yeah. It's all about similar goals.
Cool. All right. Well, we're just about out of time. You guys go ahead and promote the website again. I see you have two offices, one in Newport Beach, too.
Yes, we
there's
do service
there's
Orange
an address
County.
Here as well. And you're here in L.A. on Robertson. So you have offices. People come in and you talk to them and everything, right?
Yes, they can come in to our office anytime to visit us. You can find us on catchmatchmaking.com. I'm May Huey, and my business partner is Katie Chen, and we're love to meet any of those single guys out there who's looking for long-term relationships.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. And, I'm actually, you know, I might actually try to use your services or something.
We'll interview you after this.
Yeah, because I'm getting tired. I mean, on Match.com, all I'm getting is older women, and they look awful, and I'm not interested, you know. So, thank you very, very much, Katie.
Thank
you for joining us.
It's a lot of fun.
Always. May, thank you for coming back.
Thank you.
And you both are welcome back anytime. You
awesome.
Know, there's always so much to talk about relationships and everything.
Yes, that really
you know,
is.
It's endless, you know.
Everyone always has something to learn.
Yeah. And what about you? We didn't ask you about, are you married, boyfriend?
I have a boyfriend.
You have a boyfriend?
We've been looking at rings.
Uh-huh.
I just need to figure out what style, and he's trying to figure out what my budget is. So
right.
we're trying to figure that out. But yeah, we're going to be together forever, and we don't want kids, so we're not. not really in a hurry.
Wow.
But and my parents
don't really
care. So
that's a conscious decision. So that's a good thing. I mean, you obviously both have to agree on that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Otherwise, it would not work out later.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So what's behind the decision? I mean, you guys feel you're too busy for it. You just don't have the desire to run after kids all day.
I've never been one of those women who wanted kids. If I really did, I probably would have had it by myself without a partner. Or I would have had my eggs frozen and things like that. But I've never had a desire. When I hang out with my nieces and nephew, I'm like, oh, they're cute. Yeah, I can hang out with them for a couple hours. But after that, it's like,
don't want to take them home.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, here you go, brother.
Right.
So they're a big responsibility, and I rather travel and enjoy life and, you know, spend money on something else aside from their college education and things like that.
Yeah, that's good. Right. And I mean, the fact that you're aware of it is good. Right. You know, you're not under pressure from other people to have kids and the quote-unquote traditional family.
Right, right.
Yeah. Good for you. All right. Well, thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.